Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. I welcome all of you here today. We welcome our listeners on the radio program and on the internet. And we wish everyone a happy Sabbath today. And today we want to advertise and announce again and invite all those who are listening. If you've received one of these brochures, we'd like to invite you to come to our meeting tonight. It starts here at the church at 7 o'clock. And we hope that if you're hearing this advertisement, that and this invitation will bring you to the church tonight. I know it's going to be a lot of rain, and I hope you will brave the weather and still come out to hear this message that is going to be spoken tonight. Tonight it's going to be about our day in Bible prophecy. What does it look like at the end of time? What are the things that are telling us that the end is drawing near? How can we tell that the end is coming? And I hope tonight you will come out to listen to this message so that you can find out for yourself how close we are to the return of Jesus. Today I'd like to be able to direct your attention to Matthew chapter 6. We're looking at verse number 13 today. And as I begin here, I would invite you to join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love and your blessings to us. I pray today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be with each one of us as we open your word, and that we investigate what your will is for our life. I pray, Father, you'd give us wisdom and understanding and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look here in Matthew chapter 6 at verse 13, it says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And I want to look at this first part of this lesson here, and lead us not into temptation. The original and the true meaning of that word temptation is simply a trial or a test. And as it was a case of Abraham back in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham was given the message that he needed to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him, it was a test for Abraham to see if he was going to follow God's instruction, if he would be faithful and loyal to God. Also, we see the experience of the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 16, when God had told them to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and yet they went out and did things that they weren't supposed to do. There was manna that God had given 6 days through the week. On Friday, God gave an extra portion so that on the seventh day, Sabbath, they would not have to go out and gather any manna. It would already be taken care of. And the manna that they gathered on Friday would carry over to through the Sabbath hours. Any other day of the week, Sunday through Friday, that manna only lasted for the day in which they picked it up. So this was a test for the children of Israel, and some of the people miserably failed that test that was given to them. The planting of the tree of knowledge of good and evil into the Garden of Eden was a test to Adam and Eve, whether or not they would believe God and obey him. Would they be loyal to what he was saying to them? And they had been created free moral agents, just like you and I are. We have the choice to be able to do anything we want. We can make up our mind about whatever we choose. And we can do whatever we want whenever we want to do it. God has made us free moral agents so that we could do that. God provided a means for them to assert their loyalty to him by being faithful and not doing something that God had told them not to do. But they chose to trust in what that serpent, the devil, had told them, and they distrusted God, and they became disloyal to God as a result of their disobedience. God provided this for them to test them, to try them, to see if they would be faithful to him. And God does the same thing for you and I today. He puts things in our path to test us, to try us, to see if we will be faithful and loyal to him. Are we going to be faithful? When the temptations come, when those trials and tests come before us, will we obey God? Will we put him first above all of our other choices? And that is what God is calling for us to do. But this prayer, this petition that God has given to us, it teaches us that in James chapter 1, verse 13, will you follow me there, please, in James chapter 1? In James chapter 1 at verse number 13, let me just get to the text here. James chapter 1, verse 13. Well, actually, let's begin in verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So you see, we are free moral agents, just like Adam and Eve was back in the Garden of Eden. We can be tempted, we can be tried, we can be tested in the things that we face every day in our life. The choice is ours to either follow God or to disobey him. And this is the way it happens. You see, as a man thinks in his heart, or a woman or a child, as they think in their heart, so are they. And these things start in the heart. And when we think on them and we start mulling them over in our mind, pretty soon we begin to work them out in our daily life. And pretty soon the sin that we had thought about then becomes reality in our experience. And we have to be careful about the temptation, the trials, the tests that come before us, and make sure that we're relying upon Jesus Christ for power and strength and victory. There is power in the blood of Christ. Do you believe that? There is victory in Jesus. And that's why he died on the cross of Calvary, friends, to give you and I that power, that victory that we need to be successful and victorious just like he was. And God is calling for us to be faithful to him today. Look with me here. Well, you can't. I'll just read it to you. It comes from the book Desire of Ages. And the chapter is The Victory. And it's on page 125. It says, the tempter can never compel us to do evil. Can you say amen to that? The devil can't make us do anything. You remember, well, some of you are too young to remember this, but back in a long time ago, there was a show on TV, and the person who was the star of that show was, he would also, when he would do something wrong, he would say, the devil made me do it. And maybe some of you remember that show, but the devil, I think, is always there around us, trying to cause us to do something that we shouldn't do, but he cannot cause us to be doing evil for him. And that's what, he cannot control our mind unless we yield our control to him. Do you understand that? The devil can't control what we do. We're free moral agents. And the devil cannot make us do something. And unless we yield ourselves to him, he has no power over us. The will must consent. Faith must let go its hold upon Christ before Satan can exercise his power upon us. But every sinful desire we cherish affords him a foothold. Every point in which we fail of meeting the divine standard is an open door by which he can enter to tempt and destroy us. Every failure or defeat on our part gives occasion for him to reproach Jesus. And how many times have I caused Jesus to be reproached in my life? How many times have I put Jesus back on the cross of Calvary because of my sin? And what about you, friend? Where are you at with Jesus today? How many times have you brought sadness to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus and to the Father because of what we have done in failing the test that God has brought before us? And so God wants us to look to Jesus because that's where our strength is. That's where we'll find victory. That's where we'll get help in time of need. And I believe that this little word evil that we find in the text of Matthew chapter 6 is this evil is what God is saying here, that the reason for this prayer is that we should be praying that the devil will not lead us into temptation. The evil one who leads us to disobedience many times, we need to be praying that God will give us the strength and the power and the wisdom to recognize when the devil's trying to get us to go in the wrong direction. His children, many times, are tempted. We're pushed sometimes to go in the wrong direction. And Satan was permitted to test Job, to bring out Job's unflinching loyalty to his God. You see that in Job chapter 13, verse 15. And we see how Job was tested and how he clung to God and to the promises that God had given him. And when God brings us into trials, he has a good purpose for us when we go through that. When we succeed successfully in that trial, there is a blessing for each one of us. We gain strength from those kind of things. And also, in our weakness, when we fail, we have an opportunity to come to Jesus and make things right. We have an opportunity to be able to see where our weaknesses are, our faults, and to be able, by God's grace, to be able to overcome them and to be victorious. Our prayer to our Heavenly Father, lead us not into temptation, stems from the fact that we realize our personal weaknesses, and we all have them. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned. There's not one sinless person on this earth. There was only one, and that was Jesus. And he's up in heaven right now in the sanctuary above, ministering for you and I. He's praying for us that we will remain successful and victorious for him. Isn't that good news? Hey, we're not just praying for ourselves, but Jesus up there praying before the Father for every one of us, praying that we will get strength, that we'll be able to resist the temptations, the trials that come before us. We can push the devil out of our life, and we can be victorious just like he was. You know, if Peter had realized this petition, if he had been praying like he should have been, when Jesus told him that you'll deny me three times before the cock crows once, but if Peter had prayed this prayer, this petition, that the devil would not lead him into temptation, into the evil, he would have been more successful in acknowledging Jesus as his Savior. Jesus knew that it would happen with Peter, and he told him so. In Luke chapter 22, he told Peter what was going to take place, and yet Peter didn't make preparation for it. And so many times we look in the Bible, and we see things that God has told us, and yet they just slough off of us, and we don't make the preparation that we need to fight the devil in this battle of life and this walk with Jesus in our Christian experience. Oftentimes, we don't take the preparation that are needed. The temptations to evil come from the corruption of our own heart. Some of the evil habits that we've developed through our life, some of the things that we've done, and our character has been exposed to so many different things. Think about that. You know, it says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, as we read in James chapter 1, verse 14. That was true in the experience of David. Just think of that. One evening when it was nice and cool, it had been hot all day long. David went up on the top of his roof to relax. All the men were out to war. David was there alone. And he looked out over the great expanse of his kingdom, and he saw this beautiful woman sitting in her bathtub, taking a bath. And something evil came up in David's heart. And the next thing you know, David and Bathsheba are having a child together. And David lies. He kills Bathsheba's husband. He does all kinds of evil things once he started down that road of corruption. And it seems like one step at a time, we go through this evil process. It starts in the heart. We dwell upon that, and pretty soon it works out in our life. That's what James chapter 1 is saying. It starts slowly by the thoughts that we cherish, and then it grows into something else, and we start to act it out in our own life. And that's what God is calling for us in this prayer, to remember that we need to pray that the devil does not lead us into these temptations, to the trials and tests, that we can be successful for Jesus Christ. That's true, I think, of all of us who possess this carnal mind. You see, there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. Have you ever heard of a carnal Christian? No, if we're Christians, we're not carnal. You understand that? That when we become Christians, the carnal part of us died in baptism. When we have been dunked in the watery grave of baptism, friends, we leave that old carnal life behind, and we come up in this newness of life in Jesus Christ. And there no longer are we supposed to have this carnal mind inside of us. But let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And that's what's supposed to happen when we get baptized, that everything will be new and fresh in our life. Heaven provided refuge against the temptation of the evil one. He provides us with a security. Be on guard every Be on guard every waking moment of your life. I mean, you think about this. Think about it. How many temptations do you see every day? How many things of evil do you get experienced in your life? What are you exposed to day after day on the radio, on the TV, out in society? What is it that you're being bombarded with? You know, Lot, it says of Lot that his very soul was vexed with the evil that surrounded him. And I don't think Sodom and Gomorrah is any more corrupt than what we experience in our society today. I don't think that we're experiencing anything different than what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. When you read what was happening back then, they were destroyed because of that evil. And it says that Lot's very soul was vexed because of what he saw, what he heard, what was being experienced in his own family. And it's the same thing for you and I, friends. Whenever Satan knows if he can get us to a place and where we have put ourselves in the place of temptation, he knows that the victory is his. He knows it.
We allow ourselves to go to certain situations, certain groups of people, certain things that we've done before. We put ourselves back in that position of temptation. He knows that he has the victory already. And if we do not go away from that place, we are going to succumb to those temptations and those trials. Think about it. People who have had friends, and then they become Christians, and they go back with those friends, before you know it, they're tempted to do the same things all over again that they did before they were a Christian. When I became a Christian, I had to put away all of those things that I had done before. I had to put away the associations I had with other people who were just like me before I became a Christian. When I became a Christian, I had to start associating with like-minded people. Birds of a feather flock together. You got that? So if you got evil thinking in your heart and you put yourself back in the same kind of position that you were in before you became a Christian, you're going to end up doing the same things you did before you met Jesus. Makes sense, doesn't it? Birds of a feather flock together. And it seems like we're attracted to people who think and act just like us. Remember this, and you've heard me say it many times. The devil wears a slippery suit. And if you're not careful, he's going to slip it on you. And we have to be very careful about how we live our life. Because before you know it, we can slip into some situation and we can fail the tests, the trials that God allows us to go to. We need to be able to watch and pray. Listen to what it says here in Matthew chapter 26, 41. In Matthew chapter 26, at verse number 41, it says this. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we think we're so strong. We got all this intestinal fortitude. We can do anything. We can overcome it all. Yeah, we can until the lights go out and nobody's watching. And then we become as weak as water. And Jesus says we need to watch and pray. We need to be studying the Word of God for advice from God about how to live our life. And we need to be praying to Him for strength and victory. God calls upon us to rely upon Him in all of the temptations and trials. David said in Psalm 102, verse 7, he said, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Yeah. He's all by himself, he thought. He didn't realize there was a lot of evil angels around him, a lot of demons tempting him to do something with Bathsheba he should have never done. But he didn't realize also that the Holy Spirit of God was next to him, the Spirit who called him into leadership as the king of Israel. He didn't realize that God was watching everything that went on in his life. And oftentimes we forget that fact too. That God is seeing everything that we do, every word that we speak, every action that we commit, every inaction that we should have done and didn't do. God is taking a record of that. There is a judgment that's coming, friends. Regardless of whether we want to admit it or not, judgment is coming. And unless your record of life and all the sins of your past have been wiped away with the blood of Jesus, you're going to have to stand before an almighty God and answer for everything in your life. A record of our life is going to speak about who we are and whether or not we've been covered with the blood of Jesus. So my invitation to you today is to come to Jesus. Invite Him to come into your heart. Invite Him to cover your life with His shed blood and make atonement for you. Today, no matter what has transpired in your life, no matter who you are or where you're at, no matter how long you've been a Christian, it is time for us to come to Jesus and ask for His forgiveness and cleansing. We need to stay close to Jesus. It's when we're spiritually asleep that the enemy of our soul steals in on us and he takes us captive with his devices. The scriptures tell us that the devil is like a roaring lion and he's able to capture us at will. We think we're strong. Really, we're quite weak against the devil. And only by Jesus being inside of us do we have any defense against the devil. And if we don't keep our mind focused on heaven and upon godly things, if we're not spending time in prayer and Bible study every day, friends, we're as weak as water when we face the devil. There's no way we can overcome him. There's no way we can contend with him. Eve thought she had it all together until she started to talk to the serpent. And then she fell flat on her face. And she failed miserably at being loyal to God. We cannot contend with the devil by ourselves. It's impossible. And unless we're staying close to Jesus, friends, relying upon him for power and strength, for victory in our life, we are not going to be able to contend with the devil. We need to stay close to the Lord. We need to stay close to him every day. And you know, if Eve would have been with her husband, she could have gotten encouragement from Adam. She could have been directed in a different way than what the devil was directing her. He could have given her counsel. He could have reminded her what the God of heaven had said to them. Their friend God had walked with them daily in the garden. And Adam could have reminded her about all of those conversations that they had had with their friend in the garden. But when she strayed away, all she could hear was the voice of the devil. And it's the same for you and I, friends. If you're not spending time with Jesus in the Word, if you're not spending time speaking to God and asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to be in your life, if you're not relying upon God's grace to help you every day to face the temptations and trials and what the devil does to us every day, if you're not doing that, friends, you're just like Eve when she walked away from her husband, was out in the garden by herself and faced that serpent alone. We cannot contend with the devil. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the strength. And we need Jesus to help us with that because he was the one who was faithful in everything. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was facing this Satan in that wilderness temptation, every time the devil brought a temptation to Jesus, Jesus had something specific to say to the devil. You remember what it was? It is written. And he confronted the devil every time with those temptations with, it is written. He went back to the Word of God every time. And he reminded the devil, this is what God has to say. This is what the Word of God tells me I should do. And if we're not doing that ourselves, friends, we have no defense against what the devil wants to do to us. He wants to destroy you. He doesn't love you. He hates you. And he wants to do everything he can to drive you away from Jesus. And unless we have Jesus living in us, unless we're spending that time in watching the Word of God and praying, we have no defense against what the devil will do to us. We need to be able to say the same thing that Jesus did when we're tempted, it is written. How can we say that if we've never read what is written? It's hard for us to say that to the devil. It's hard to say that to the temptations. If we haven't been putting the Word of God deep into our heart and mind and praying for God to reside inside of us with his Spirit and his grace, how can we ever say to anyone, it is written? Unless you put it there, you have nothing to give. And so I encourage you, whoever you are, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening today, I encourage you to spend time with Jesus. Spend time in prayer and Bible study so that you can have that defense against the devil that Jesus had. Prayer and earnest and prevailing prayer is still another must for the saints to be safe against temptation. We need that. There's no way. We must watch and pray that we do not enter into temptation. The devil will do everything he can to destroy us, but you know what? Jesus loves you. In case you never realized how much God really loves you, he sent his dear son here to help you, to show us that he walked this earth victorious against the devil. And he gave an example to you and I that we can be victorious too through him. We don't have to succumb to the temptations and trials. We don't have to be like the devil. We don't have to let him lead us all over the place. In fact, he doesn't lead us too far. You know, the fact is that oftentimes we're hanging on to his shirt tail and we won't let go. And he drags us through the mud and through the muck of life. And what we need to do is let go of the devil. We need to let him go his own way. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we will draw nigh to God, he will draw near to us. And if we'll flee from the devil, he'll flee from us. And the problem is we keep hanging on to the devil when we need to be hanging on to Jesus who really loves us. He loves each one of us supremely. And the family altar is one of those places where you and I can gain strength against the devil, to be able to spend time in prayer and study, to build up defenses against what the devil does to us. There is time for prayer. There's time for us to be able to speak about these things to the God who really, truly loves us. We can tell him all of our plans. We can tell him what the needs of our heart are. We can tell him everything about our life. And God understands. And he is a God who can hear and has the power to answer. Praise God for that. Don't you think so? Praise God. Do we have a God who is not made of stone? He's not made of brass or silver. He's not made of some piece of wood. He's a living, fleshly human being with God for us. He is that God-man who is there to help us through the difficulties and trials of our life. And he does that because he loves us so much.
I know that God cares about you. He cares about everything that is going on in your life and in mine. And he wants us to be successful for him. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse number 13. If you have your scriptures, turn with me there, because there is some counsel here in this text. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful." Can you hear that? God is faithful. The devil is not. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make what? Oh, he gives us a way out. He makes a way of escape that we may be able to bear the temptation. Praise God for that. That's what the Holy Spirit does, friends. He comes to our conscious mind and he says to us, go this way, not that. He says, follow after Jesus, not after the devil. And he gives us something in our mind that awakens to us, this isn't the right thing to do. And we have to listen to the Holy Spirit pleading to our conscious mind, telling us that we should follow Jesus. The fellowship of the people of God is blessed with the shelter against temptation because God has made a way of escape for each one of us. When we join with God's people in the study of the Word, when we are with them in prayer, we have time and we have desire to do the things that God wants us to do. But when we're not in fellowship with one another, we sometimes become weak as water. We need each other to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to remind each other about what God's Word has to say. We need to spend time with our family, with our church members, and with God. We need to pray. Lead us not into temptation. And we need to declare that we rely altogether upon the Lord for all of our safekeeping, for everything that we have. And when we do this, we don't need to fear anything. We don't need to fear being disappointing to the Lord. We can resist temptation. We can force the devil to leave us alone. And Jesus was victorious by submission and faith to God. Isn't that something? He didn't have to use any kind of godly power to resist the devil. He relied upon his Father to give him everything he needed to resist the devil. And you and I need to do the same thing. Rely upon the power of our Father in heaven to give us what we need to resist. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it reminds us there that if we will draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And how do we draw near to God? By spending time with him in prayer and Bible study. By giving our life to him daily, fresh and new, we start our life with him every day. And God says that if we will draw away from the devil, away from those things that tempt us, those kinds of experiences that we had in our past life, God will give us the power to be able to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. The devil cannot be in the presence of God. And when you've invited Jesus Christ into your life, friends, as a Christian, the devil can't reside there too. He cannot be in the same place. God will not allow it. And so for us to resist the devil means that we need to have Jesus right here in us. That's where it needs to start. When we get to heaven, friends, we're going to cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And we're going to say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You can find that in Revelation chapter 5, verse number 12. When you get to heaven, friends, what will you say to Jesus? How will you act when you get there? Will you take off that golden crown that Jesus has given you and throw it at his feet and say, everything that I had to give up, everything that I had to submit to for Jesus, it was worth it all because Jesus loves us. And he's prepared a place for every one of us so that when we go to heaven, we can enjoy that peace with Jesus for eternity. I long for that in my life. What about you? Join me in prayer today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you had the wisdom to send him down to this earth to be able to die for each one of us. But he gave us an example, too, about how we're to live our life for you. And I pray, Father, that whenever trials and tests come to us, whatever that temptation may be, that we can rely upon Jesus for victory and strength, and may we have the courage to say to the devil, it is written. Send us away with your blessing today. We pray it and ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.